This is Now You Know, and today we will be listening to an interview with Camille Lapchuk on the topic of winter coats and what they're made of. Camille Lapchuk is one of Canada's leading animal rights lawyers who worked to protect animals for over a decade. As a lawyer, Camille seeks out cases that enhance the legal interest of animals, expose hidden animal suffering, and result in meaningful policy changes. As an advocate, Camille's work includes documenting the commercial seal kill of Canada's East Coast, exposing cruelty in farming, and campaigns against trophy hunting, circuses, zoos, aquarium, shark finning, puppy mills, and more. Let's have a listen. Camille, really great to speak with you today on the extremely heated topic of the Canada Goose Company and its use of animal products in its clothing.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Catherine. This is one of my favorite topics. So the reality is that we as advocates have a lot more to do to combat Canada Goose and expose the truth about where its fur comes from, because it just keeps growing.
It's really interesting because I think most Canadians would never even consider wearing a fur coat. And yet I think there's a disconnect between this coyote fur trim on hoods as being somehow real fur. Is it that you think the message isn't out there clearly enough that this is wearing fur, or do you think it's attributed to something else?
I think there's a couple of factors at play here. And first of all, I would say you're absolutely right that a lot of people don't want to wear fur anymore. And I think what happened is that there's a feeling among people that fur is not okay anymore to wear. And so that when they see things that look like fur, people assume that it must be faux fur. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily think of the trim around the jackets that they're purchasing as real fur, or they don't recognize what they see on the street as real fur. I could tell you from 200 meters away if something is faux fur or if it's real fur, but your average person can't even tell that up close. So a lot of the times I fear that when compassionate people who don't want to wear fur are wearing faux fur, we're unwittingly promoting the fur industry.
I was looking at the Canada Goose website in preparation for our chat today. And just to give listeners a bit of a rundown, on their website, they claim to ethically source all of their fur, feathers, and wool. And furthermore, they emphasize how they give back by helping polar bears and northern communities. The one other thing that I found kind of bizarre is that they describe themselves on the website as a kind of mama bird, with each coat meticulously cared for before, quote, leaving the nest. I just found that such an interesting and ironic image given their alleged abuse of, in particular, birds and coyotes.
Oh, it's appalling, actually. Canada Goose tries very hard to obscure the reality of what they do to animals. And it's funny, I've got the fur and down policy page on their website open right now as well. They use all kinds of flowery language. They say, "We believe all animals are entitled to humane treatment and life and death, and deeply committed to the ethical sourcing and responsible use of all animal materials." And they say they don't condone any willful mistreatment or neglect or acts that maliciously cause animal suffering. So they try to make themselves out to be a compassionate, ethical company when the reality is far from that. It's interesting that they don't actually have any videos of animals being trapped or geese being killed for their down on their website, because I think that would go a long way to transparency.
So can you take us through, just sort of spell it out for listeners who may not have been on the PETA website and may not actually know what happens to a coyote when it's trapped and where these coyotes are being trapped? Is this just in Canada and the United States for Canada Goose? And as well, if you could just speak a bit about the conditions for geese and what they go through.
Yeah, sure. It's heartbreaking. Coyotes, of course, are killed to make the fur trim around Canada Goose jackets. And I believe that they source their coyotes from North America. I'm not sure if they've expanded to the extent that they're trying to do so elsewhere, but they kill a lot of coyotes, or to be more accurate, they purchase a lot of fur from killed coyotes in North America. So coyotes are killed in one of two ways in North America. There are leg hold traps, which are metal jaws that clamp around an animal's leg and hold the coyote there until the trapper can return and kill him or her. And they're also killed by snares. So I'll talk a bit about each of those and why they're so awful. So leg hold traps don't kill a coyote. They restrain the animal for a period of time until the trapper returns and does the dirty deed. The standards for what types of leg hold traps will be approved are shockingly low in Canada. So black hole traps themselves cause a lot of suffering. And then, Catherine, there's the timeline within which they must be checked. So you can imagine that trapping an animal in the woods or wherever they happen to be leaves them open to predation, leaves them open to thirst and hunger and exposure to the elements. Most of trapping is done in the winter when it's extremely cold in many places in this country. So they're in a pretty unfortunate situation for some period of time before trappers return to check the traps. In many places, there is no regulated timeline for checking traps. There's no standard or requirement. Other places, it might be once every 24 hours or once every 72 hours, perhaps. So it could be a very, very long time that these animals are left suffering.
And what about the conditions and the standards when it comes to geese? Where are these feathers coming from? Are they coming from overseas? What's going on?
So Canada Goose doesn't publish details of where all of its feathers come from. But we do know from at least one undercover investigation from PETA that one of their suppliers in Canada, so PETA had an eyewitness investigator who worked at a facility and traveled with a shipment of geese who were on their way to being slaughtered. And the down from these geese apparently did not go directly into Canada Goose jackets, but the facility and or the slaughterhouse processed Canada Goose down as well. And Catherine, what they saw was just horrific.
And is Canada Goose any different from the majority of other winter coat companies? Why are they specifically the targeted ones? Just because they're one of the largest?
I think that in Canada in particular, the fact that they're using our sort of country's national identity to market their products really rankles people in this country who feel that we're a compassionate country and we shouldn't be treating animals this way.
I think there is the perception that Canada Goose is the warmest. They market on their website, you know, all of the athletes and scientists and, you know, Arctic expeditioners that have worn their coats. But for the average person walking around, for example, our city here in Toronto, is that kind of warmth necessary? And is it even truthful that this is kind of the warmest brand?
Oh, first of all, it's absolutely not true that you need a Canada Goose jacket to stay warm. But you're right, Canada Goose tries to market itself as like the absolute best choice. But the reality is that there are all kinds of other options out there, animal-friendly options. So I think what we really need to do is just start replacing down in the supply chain. That's a really, really easy switch. It's obviously down is something internal to a jacket. No one will even notice if it's replaced. So it's easy to make that change. With fur, I think that's a little bit trickier. We, as compassionate consumers, need to rise up and make clear to companies that they're not going to get our business if they do continue to put fur on jackets. And that's more of a challenge. I think, like you said, that most people don't want to wear fur and are not aware that they are wearing fur when they purchase it. And if they are aware, they aren't aware of the conditions under which those animals were raised, if they come from fur farms, or the conditions under which they were trapped or under which they were snared. So we have an education project ahead of us.
And what should we be doing as just the average citizen, other than just boycotting Canada Goose? Like, are there steps that you recommend people take to try to help this problem?
Yeah, I think educating others is really key, and doing it in a way that helps teach them about the truth of what animals endure in the fur trade and in the down trade. I also personally have made the choice not to wear faux fur. I understand if people do want to wear faux fur and explain to others that it's not real, but I think for me, the danger I was seeing is that people would see that faux fur, they wouldn't be able to tell if it was real or not, and it would create and contribute to this perception that fur is somehow stylish and fashionable, whether it's faux or not. And the confusion that we know people feel when they see this was a problem for me, so I avoid doing that too.
I do the same. If somebody has one of these coats and then they hear this, what do you recommend they do with their coat? I think we need somebody to come up with some sort of like positive project for all of these Canada Goose coats floating around there.
Oh, you're so right. Well, there's actually a solution to this. So wildlife rescues that take in orphaned baby animals, they will accept fur trim and fur jackets to use those in rehabilitation of baby animals. So it's really comforting for, say, a little baby coyote who's lost his mom to a trap. It's really comforting for them to be able to have access to something that feels kind of like mom.
Camille, thank you so much for talking to me today. And thank you for all that you do on behalf of animals. You're definitely a local and, in addition, a national hero for many of us. So thanks very much.
Well, it's really kind of you to say, and I'm so delighted to join you and talk about this and hopefully educate more people.
That interview with Camille was amazing. And I think it's a very dry subject. Most people don't want to hear about this, or even if they do, they've heard it before. You know, there's the whole anti-fur activism around like, oh, people should not be wearing fur. And I feel a lot of people are like, yes, we know you should not be wearing fur. But I think people are not actually aware, like really, of what's going on. It's interesting because I did a paper for my First Peoples class in college about animal activism and the fur trade, more specifically directed at how Indigenous people are affected about the whole anti-fur movement. So yeah, basically, if we look at the International Anti-Fur Coalition, it was founded in 2006. The main focus of the campaigning was China, which is the biggest producer of furs in the world. They do not have laws to enforce regulation regarding waste management. And their argument is that fur isn't sustainable because trapping animals causes a significant imbalance in the animal fur-bearing population, as well as aggravates the status of endangered animals that are trapped by mistake. So they obviously go more in depth about this. So what I found interesting is that Camille kind of just explained, you know, this is what's happening, this is what we're asking, and even also bringing the point that some people don't know that their fake fur is actually real fur. So I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I found that really interesting how she said she could spot faux fur from like a mile away, and she can tell the difference between faux fur and real fur. I struggle. Sometimes I think I've got it and then I'm completely wrong. So I think there is probably confusion for a lot of people thinking that this must be faux fur.
So from personal experience, like when you're in Toronto or when you're in Montreal, this is where I agree that there's no reason for someone living in a big city to wear fur or down. Like a synthetic will do the job. Now, where I find there's a little twist and people have to be careful about how they word this is a lot of communities that live up north and they are marginalized and underprivileged won't necessarily have $3,000 to put on the coat, which is the price we're looking at for those coats that actually are synthetic and do the job.
I see. Okay, very good point.
So that's what I say was all about. It was just trying to make the difference between, you know, those basically... You have to look at it from a point of view. You have to distinguish between the practicing of the fur trade to help a community thrive versus the other, which is solely profit oriented. So I think, you know, wearing furs in cold weather is something that has always existed. But I think the methods to obtain that fur have somewhat been modified throughout the years. Many Aboriginal societies of North America, in order to survive and shield themselves from the harsh cold, hunted animals for their furs and their meat. So pelt was not a question of status or identity, but just an item, a normal item from a member of the northern groups possessed and still possessed for their daily lives. So the problem sometimes with the whole anti-fur lobbies is that they put everyone in the same basket and they condemn the wearing of furs and not the industries whose sole objective is to make profit.
You're right. When we look around our cities and, you know, the amount of people wearing these thick, heavy, very expensive coats that are full of feathers and trimmed with real fur, that's a luxury. It's unnecessary. And there is a degree of ignorance surrounding that. Okay, so now that we know this is an absolutely horrible thing and we should avoid, you know, buying winter coats with down in them, with animal products, with fur trim, there are a ton of people out there probably listening to this too, if we can get listeners. There are a ton of people out there that already own these coats. So I know for myself, like, even though I've been working in animal protection for many years now, when I bought my winter jacket, which was maybe 4 years ago, it's not Canada Goose, I didn't even think about what was inside it, like total blind spot, because there's no, I don't buy fur trim. I don't wear faux fur for the same reason as Camille, but I didn't think about what was inside. So for those of us like myself, who doesn't have Canada Goose, but I have this other brand, I don't know, it may or may not have a synthetic product inside of it. Obviously you're not going to just throw away your coat now, are you? But what, like, that's why I was trying to talk to Camille about what can people do? Like if I owned one of those coats, if you owned one of those coats, what would you do with it now? Like you don't want to wear it because you don't want to promote the brand to others, or do you continue wearing it? Cause obviously you're not just going to like throw something out that's perfectly good now, because then, you know, those animals died for nothing and then you need to buy something else. So like, what can people do? I liked that Camille said, there's that one organization and they actually will take like the coyote trim fur and give it to, you know, cubs that have lost, right, that have lost their mothers. What other ideas? I think that would be interesting to talk about, because we don't want people to feel like, oh, you know, like guilty, or I feel like we need to come up with something productive to offer.
So people. What I was thinking about, and I'm not sure if it's something I read somewhere, so I might totally be stealing someone's idea. And if I do, please, I apologize.
Go ahead, if it helps the animals.
I was thinking maybe we could create a sort of patch that would be like an international symbol saying like, at the moment,
I bought this coat, yeah, but I wouldn't again. Or
I did not know what was inside, but now that I know, I will still wear it. But here's my patch that says that I am conscious that, you know, what's inside is not very really acceptable. And my next purchase will be more responsible. Because to me,
I love that. Can we get somebody to produce those? If there's anybody listening that wants to take that on, we're not trying to shame anybody here. I mean, oh, no. Lots of people didn't know when they bought their coat, or even if you knew, but it didn't really click in and now it is, like, just that's fine, you know, but just what we're trying to do is create change. So going forward, the next time you go shopping, maybe you can just inquire what's inside the winter coats instead of just thinking about fashion and price point. Maybe you can start thinking, can I buy a synthetic? And lots of the fancy brands for people in big cities that, you know, have the money and want to go to a fancy store like Sporting Life or something. There are a lot of fancy high-end brands that are very, you know, ethical and conscious about these things and are using alternatives and synthetics. Maybe what we can do is put up on our website a whole bunch of alternative brands that, you know, that really do, you know, not
Absolutely.
Use fur and feathers. So our message is, no matter what the brand, we're not trying to just, you know, vilify Canada Goose. So whatever your brand that you're wearing, just inquire. And if it's not, you know, ethically produced, yeah. then switch. Going forward, have you figured out a celebrity that we should approach?
I think we should approach, his name is Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. So I'll explain. He's from Montreal. He played football, American football, for McGill University and got drafted to play for the Kansas Chiefs in the US while he was studying med school. So that is a first.
Wow, that's not easy.
No, not easy at all. It is a first. And I think he's very implicated in those causes. He's always willing to learn about new stuff. And I'm sure he would love to have us interview him about this. And I'm pretty sure he's heard about it already. I'm pretty sure he would agree to us.
Amazing. Word for us could be choose cruelty-free alternatives to down, or choose cruelty-free alternatives to fur and feathers when you buy your winter coat, or choose synthetics over animal products.
Yep.
All we can do is our best and put pressure where we can put pressure. Right to Canada Goose. Yep. Try not to do things that are blatantly wrong. So we know where this coyote fur is coming from on the trim of these coats. Yeah. So, you know, this is a much larger topic here, just, you know, being aware of your clothing, where it's manufactured, how it's manufactured, what the product they're using is. Does it come from animals? Obviously, that's like a huge topic, but at least for our purposes with Canada Goose, that's something that is manageable, that people can actually say, hey, wait, I don't want to wear fur or even faux fur. Or I want to inquire to this company, like, why are you still doing this when this is clearly cruel?
Absolutely.
We have evidence.
Absolutely. So I think on my side, I will try to inquire about the whole patch thing. I think it's an amazing, I think I read it somewhere. I didn't just come up with that, but I think it's a really cool alternative. It's like, I already have that winter coat. An animal already died for it. I'm not going to throw it in the garbage. I'm going to use it, but I want people to know that at the time of the purchase, I wasn't as aware, and that my next purchase will be completely different.
Okay, so I'm really excited now. What we're going to do is get this interview finished, produced, get it to Laurent. You'll take it to him for us, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Absolutely. I'll keep you updated.
Perfect.